Used to saying good morning, but good evening, everyone. You know, I had my good friend, an elder here, Mike, was up here earlier, and you know, as he's telling this story, he's telling such a good story, I started believing him, and I thought, what is he talking about? Did I do? And then Mike is lying about me again. So, Mike always keeps me on my toes and keeps me laughing. God is so good all the time. You know, I was sitting back here enjoying the worship, and I got a taste. Did you get a taste today? To be in a room full of believers. Not just believers, but those who are on fire. Because we've gotten a taste of God's love. It is a good thing. You know, God is working. There is much to celebrate. Sometimes we forget that, but let us not forget it in this moment. There is grace for all. There is mercy. There is peace to enjoy and arms to rest in. Amen. If you would pray with me real quick. Almighty Father, we pause here. Lord, we love you. Oh, the ways we love you. God, we thank you that we come here today bathed in the riches of your love and mercy. We come here today as a body of Christ celebrating a faithful, faithful Father. Holy Lord, as we dive into scripture, Lord, we ask that you, Lord, will speak. We ask, Lord, that our hearts will be open, that we will receive, Lord, what you have for us today. Your will be done, your message given. And Father, I pray that it does not fall upon deaf ears. I pray, Father, that we will respond as children of God who love you. Lord, to you be the glory in all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we get to dive into John chapter 3. I think we'll have it up here maybe. My communication this week has failed a little bit, I'll just tell you that. I forgot that it's not Sunday. And when I communicate things on Sunday, I have a lot of people who take responsibilities, but they're not all here tonight. I communicated to nobody, you know, some things. And so I don't really know what's going to happen tonight, but my faithful friends have been here with me picking up all the pieces that I have dropped. I thank you for that. So we're in John chapter 3. Let's read together. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God is not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born again? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. Do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that which he has done has been done through God. That's a lot. That's a lot. I have a question for you. Who was Nicodemus? Who was Nicodemus? Pharisee, right? If you were listening to the beginning, we got the answer, guys. All right? Not asking any crazy questions yet. He was a Sanhedrin, correct? Yeah. So he was of the Jewish ruling council. They would oversee those situations. He was a learned scholar, yes? Very well. Yeah? Kind of a well-to-do, right? He's one who was saturated with information. Who would you consider saturated with information? Saturated with information. You know, I think of Jeopardy. Like, I'm like, wow, how did these guys know all of this, you know? But saturated with information. And yet, hungry. Hungry for spiritual truth. It's interesting, isn't it? Nicodemus was perhaps pretty confident, right? Yeah? Would we say he's probably a pretty confident guy? Pretty good at that law keeping? Yeah. Really not concerned about himself because he knew he had it together. He'd been doing all the right things. In fact, he knew that law better than any of us could. So he's pretty confident, yeah? He feels like he's pretty good. He's pretty secure. But then there's Jesus. There's just something about Jesus stirs something in Nicodemus, right? And you know, we can read the way that Nicodemus comes to speak with Jesus. We could say, well, maybe he's doing it in secret so no one sees, right? Maybe he's wanting to have an honest conversation. Maybe this is just the only way he knows how to come. I don't know. There's a lot of speculation of how Nicodemus comes, but he comes, right? And oh, he is not disappointed. Nicodemus knew the law thoroughly, and he taught the scriptures. But born again. Born again. Jesus is telling him, you see, Nicodemus, there's more than just knowing. This is that moment when Nicodemus says, what? Come again? There's more than just knowing. This is Nicodemus's moment. Have you ever had an encounter with Christ? Have you ever encountered the living God? Have you had that moment that makes you step back and go, what? This is his moment. He is face to face with the Savior of the world. And God is talking to him. This is his encounter. And what does Jesus tell him? Nicodemus, all that you are, you can't do it by yourself, buddy. It's only with God. Only by God. Only God. This is a brand new concept. He's had a pretty safe, comfortable law that has great security to him. And he is standing before the living God, being told, that's not it. Can you imagine how he may feel? Have any of you ever believed something and then found out maybe it wasn't all true? I know I'm speaking to the choir. He gets an eyewitness testimony of heaven. An eyewitness testimony. Who wants an eyewitness testimony of heaven? People pay a lot of money for that. Yeah? An eyewitness testimony to heaven. Nicodemus, Pharisee, he gets that. This moment. This moment. And Jesus speaks of eternal life, and who does Jesus point to? Who does Jesus point to, guys? Who are we pointing to? Points to himself. He's like, Nicodemus, what you're looking for, it's right here. Just like that snake was held up to Israel, right? They got healed. When they looked at it, they had life, right? They got healed. I'm held up for you. It's me, buddy. What your heart is stirring about, it's me. I love that Jesus is so honest. I love that Jesus spends time with Nicodemus. I love that he doesn't say, hey, why are you coming at night? Why don't you stand in front of all these guys and tell them that I'm stirring your heart? Jesus meets him right where he's at. Happens to be at night. And Jesus points to himself. Verse 16. How many of you know that one? What's it say? Do it with your eyes closed. If you haven't met Gordon, he has a good sense of humor. For God so loved the world. I know that we have heard John 3:16 so much. Yeah? In fact, it's the most quoted scripture. I learned that today. Greg said that. I listen, Greg. I actually read that before, but thanks for making me look smart. So much so, the scripture is quoted, that we may become indifferent or unfazed by it. Yeah? You know, come on, pick a different scripture, right? Something inspiring. I've heard that one over and over again. Can we think of something else? Everyone knows John 3:16. Everyone knows John 3:16. Does everyone know John 3:16? Do I know John 3:16? We can throw this around as if it's some ordinary scripture. This is the glory of God. God is good. Read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There's a lot of context there. God's merciful judgment. You hear judgment, right? You've heard judgment? How much fear is in judgment? Perhaps we don't understand. God's merciful judgment. Nicodemus witnesses God's merciful judgment, testified to him. Your father and my father judged us worthy of his love. John 3:16. Doesn't get much better than that. How can this be? And yet it is. Our God's goodness. And yet I cannot convey it. It is beyond my words. This is the reality that Nicodemus came face to face that night with. And what happened to Nicodemus? You know, scripture doesn't give us a lot of detail, but it does give us some. And I can only imagine that man's heart after standing in the presence of our Lord, having Jesus declare to him the judgment of God in absolute love and mercy. Nicodemus was among the Pharisees when Jesus was brought forth. We hear about him again. In fact, he was an advocate for Jesus to have a fair trial. Ooh, Nicodemus. There's some boldness growing. Perhaps the testimony of God changed his heart. When Jesus died upon the cross, Nicodemus brings forth a large amount of oils to bury Jesus and gives him a royal burial because he recognized the king. We witnessed Nicodemus's journey from Jewish ruling council all the way to the foot of the cross. There's a powerful story here, and you and I are part of it. Nicodemus happened to be there at that time. But God's declaration of merciful judgment is for us as well. God's judgment of love delivers a powerful invitation to an eternal life with him. His blood for you. His body for you. His life for you. The invitation is for you. And God doesn't just leave it in a secret place. He declares it to the world. Come. You have been given an invitation. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Today we have an opportunity to join together in communion with our Lord. We have an opportunity to come forward and respond to his yes. He has said, yes, I want you. Yes, I died for you. Yes, you are worthy of my love. Will you come? If I could have my friends come forward, pray with me. Almighty Father, we come, Lord, and we rest at your table where the feast is immense, where your love overflows, where we are bathed in your mercy. And God, we say yes. We love you. Thank you, God, for all that you do. To you be the glory, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. All are welcome to the table. Please come.